You had a vote. If you see me away from the pulpit, I'll tell you how to vote if you're interested, which I know you're not. But I do want to encourage you. I know these things matter, and even though it's a primary, usually it's a small attendance. John Sharp and I were talking about this in the office. I just want to encourage you to get out. Let's get out and do our civic duty this Tuesday and vote. And Brian and I were discussing after he got down, we forgot to mention, I forgot to highlight to him, and he forgot to mention, and rather than make him come back, let me do this. Marcy, we are pleased, really pleased to recommend Marcy Livingston to you to be our new preschool director. And so in a couple of weeks on Sunday morning, we'll vote on her on August the 3rd. She comes highly recommended by the youth parents and all those that work back there. And Brian's been such an integral part of what she does also. So be praying about that vote. Any questions, we'll try to maybe take a little time for some if you got any next Sunday if needed. But looking forward to that vote. I think it's going to go well. She comes, like I said, there's been good support by all that age group for her and Brian in that position. Got a couple of folks here I want to highlight, and one I want to do real low-key in just a second. But it's good to have Steve and Deidre back from Ohio, isn't it, y'all? That is a big deal. Been up there a number of weeks. But even as big a deal as that is, it's good to have some friends of theirs. They have the Lindberghs here with them. And their Lindbergh's daughter, Rebecca, is my term, missionary to China. If that's the wrong term, Rebecca, forgive me. But she'll be going back to teach here July 31st, back to China. And they'll be leaving here to go to Savannah for a little rest. And her parents, also Scott and Cynthia, are here with her over there with the Diedrichs. And Clint, it's always good to have you and Christy here. Clint and I have talked about this kind of stuff over the years. We both like to be really, really low-key. So, Clint, that's about as much as I'll say. Good to have you and the kids. They get on the road tomorrow to head to Oregon, y'all. So be much in prayer for them. Clint, can't say enough, man, how much we love and respect you. Big deal, man, praying for y'all. God bless you, man. Isn't it good to see them this morning? Going to ask you to stand, if you would, church. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Psalms 139. It's a passage we've looked at before. Usually when we're here, we're talking about what it looks like to be fearfully and wondrously made. Couldn't get away from this message as much as I struggle with what to do this morning. I got a couple series I'm ready to start, but it's been hard to try to figure out when to do them. So many people traveling, like today, so many at the lake, so many in Florida, so many gone traveling, which is good. Not a problem. Always glad when people can get away and enjoy some time away, but makes it difficult when you try to do series. So it looks like things I'm going to feel led to do, I'm going to start the Sunday after Labor Day, and we'll just kind of wing it between now and then, what the Lord lays on our heart. Turn there in Psalm 139. Just keep your place there. That's where we're going to be as we walk through the message this morning. Let's pray, church. Father, we add Johnny's wife, Ellen's dad, to our prayer list and pray you be with him. As Dwayne shares the need with me, it sounds critical what's going on with him. Stage 4, Alzheimer's. Just pray your faithfulness there. Remind you of those that need you. How encouraged we are to see Taylor ready to be here on August the 11th. I pray you prepare our hearts for him and you prepare him for being with us. Again, we ask, as Brian already prayed, Father, that you be with our young people as they travel between Kansas and Colorado. May this time on the mountain be a fruitful time for them. Would you bless them, not only with safety, but especially with a measure of your grace and your presence. It's good to be in your house this morning, Father. It's good to have these that are visiting today. But especially, Father, know that what we say often, we really mean. We would not want to be here except you would be here with us to meet. I need your help this part of the service always, Father. Need your help and pray you would speak and bless all that takes place from this moment on. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, you may be seated, church. I'm going to ask you again a question I asked you off and on from the pulpit. How's your heart today? How's your heart? Some of you like me, if you're talking about your physical heart, you go, I really, really don't know, because you really don't like going to the doctor. Sometimes maybe you're like me, you can procrastinate even the fateful checkups. But it's good to know how our heart is doing. In the 30 plus years that I've been doing ministry, it's been amazing to me how much the technology has changed on what they can do to our hearts and what they do to our hearts. I can't remember when open heart surgery was a big deal. Let me be careful how I say that. Because if it's me having open heart surgery, it seems like it would be a big deal. I can remember when it was scary, scary for folks to do. I can remember the first time when Brother Elder and I would go to the hospital and open heart surgery would be happening on really elderly patients. And Brother Elder would comment to me that he's not sure he'd ever believe and see a time where that would take place. And now it's come so far. Heart ablations, stents, casts, shocking of the heart. Now, not even open heart surgery can kind of go in from the side of the chest, even can do stents from the arm. It's amazing the technology and what the doctors have learned and even what they know about taking care of us. Daddy has a number of heart medicines. I was chatting with Lindsay Miller about his medicines this morning. I picked his brain a little bit about the one he takes. On Saturdays, I go down and do Daddy's medicine. If I haven't done it, I usually try to wait till Daddy has taken his night medicine, because it just kind of helps to fill the case out to where it goes from Sunday to Saturday. Got a morning case and a night case, and it helps Daddy to not get confused on what he's taking and what he hadn't taken and what's there and what's not. So, but if I haven't been down there by about 8 o'clock or so, Daddy calls me, because he's generally headed to bed, and he calls, he says, this is generally how it goes. Daddy's not a long talker on the telephone. He said, do you know what day it is? And I go, yes, I do, Daddy, and I'll be down shortly. I have forgotten. I'm glad you called to remind me, because I would have thought about it before I went to bed, but that might have been 10:30 or 11 o'clock tonight. So I go down and do it, and I'm amazed at all the medicines there, platelet medicine, blood pressure medicine, circulation issues, just a host of medicine that's just directly with his heart. Other medicine to get the fluid off his heart, other medicine to help his kidneys do with the fluid that's coming their way. It's amazing. The medicine that's available. We're really, you know, in many ways, folks, we're blessed. Nobody likes to take a lot of medicine, but the medicine that's out there that's available to us in this country, we're blessed. To allow us to hopefully live longer and even healthier lives to do that. Over the years, I'm looking in the faces of people. I won't call out all of them, but there's lots of people here that I've rushed to the hospital when they've had open heart problems and gotten there right when they just found out the news that, yeah, had a heart attack. And sometimes I've been there soon after, or been there when the doctors come in and tell them, you're going to need open heart surgery. I've been with folks like, I remember Milton Pipkin years ago. Remember when the Children's Hospital, the medical center, was the old Middle Georgia Hospital? How many of y'all old enough like me to remember that? I remember Milton, back in the day, the Middle Georgia didn't have a heart room for surgery. They still did heart casts over there. Milton was one having a heart cath in the Middle Georgia, the old Middle Georgia. And things didn't go well in that heart cath, and they had to rush him, literally, across the little alleyway there into the medical center, and rushed him to open heart surgery and got him over there and got him taken care of. Same kind of with Margaret, except she didn't have to go anywhere. When Margaret had her open heart surgery, the cath was taking place at the Coliseum, and Dr. Nodler saw some things there that gave him great pause and sent her to ICU and then immediately to open heart surgery. Just scores of people here like this. Some of us, maybe it's in our genes, our family heredity. We know there's a predisposition to heart issues, and so our wives nag us about what we eat and not eat, lack of exercise and pudginess and stuff. And they really care about us. They're not just concerned about us being the strapping, handsome young man that they married sometimes. But that's really not the question I got for you this morning. I am concerned about that, and I hope you're on top of it. But a fair question for church is, how's your heart? How's your heart? This passage in Psalm 139 is one of my favorites when it comes to the heart. It's one of my favorites when it comes to life issues. And it's beautiful passages here in this great psalm about us being fearfully and wonderfully made by the Lord. We use it many times around Save a Life messages, but also at the beginning of this passage, this chapter, and the end of this chapter, some sober things said to us. In the time that God allows us, I want to walk through about 8 of these verses with you this morning, and I want us to talk a little bit heart to heart about our hearts. Look what he says in verse 1 to us. You have searched me, O Lord, and you know me. David said, you have searched me and you know me. You've searched me and you know me. Can I remind you this morning that you and I, inside and out, we are known by the Lord. Intimately known. I did a checkmate search last night on myself. Well, actually, I did it Friday, and I kind of did it. I didn't complete it, because I just been hearing about this particular software where you can go and do background searches on people, and I know a lot of companies use it, a lot of churches use Checkmate and things like it. So I just put my name in there and kind of found out there's a lot of Timothy Longs in Georgia. To my knowledge, there's only one Timothy Long in Macon. I got down to where it gave up a bunch of names. It talked about a lot of relatives, and it was there to where you pay. I think it was $8.95 or $9.95, and I said, no, I'm not going to pay just to see what it says. But I was intrigued about this software. I've been hearing about software like it. This software really said a lot about me even before I had to pay. And if software can do this, excuse me, if this particular stuff can do this online, imagine what the Lord really knows, y'all, about you and me. I travel, Leah, and I travel very little by plane, but when I go far distances, I always like to go by plane, given a choice. Matter of fact, Matt commented when I talked to him this morning, I asked him how they were doing. He said, everybody is really tired after the trek, early morning leaving Macon, Georgia, and getting outside of Kansas City, Kansas, the Timberlake camp. He said, we're tired, starting this morning, tired. And that's one reason why, if I'm going that far, I always like to just jump on out there that way and then rent a car and kind of enjoy the travel. But one of the things I don't like about traveling to airport, Jimmy, and as much as you travel, I still, Jimmy, haven't got used to the new body scanners at the airport. They kind of creep you out. They kind of creep me out. I feel like this is way too up close and personal. It's the searches that are necessary. Kind of a unnecessary evil, excuse me, a necessary evil that we have to go through for the stuff. None of us like to be searched more. Our country, matter of fact, one of the founding principles, Bill of Rights of our country is we are free from unreasonable search and seizures. We were traveling down I-16 a couple of weeks ago as Lee and I were coming back from July 4th time at St. Simon's. And there was a car stopped by the road and they had the police and looked like, I think it was a Georgia State Patrol. And then it had local county sheriff folks there. And then it had dog sniffing dogs there. And it had everybody outside the car. And I thought, that person, they're having a bad day. Sometimes searches like that are necessary. They patrol for crimes. They patrol for drugs. They catch people on our streets and on our highways that we would like to see caught in situations. But for the most part, we don't know. We don't like to be invaded like this. Even for me, a staunch conservative, I'm a little bit apprehensive about the NSA and all the peering that they can do into our lives and all that we do as a country. I still think the good outweighs the bad, more all things being equal. And then are you like me? You think you know people and you find out you really didn't know them. Or sometimes people feel like they knew us and they find that they really didn't know us. Matter of fact, at Southwest High School, people would have a saying, especially my African-American friends, and we'd be cutting up with each other, and I'd say something that a little bit more personal. They would think, they said, you don't know me. And literally what they were saying to me is, Tim, you don't know me well enough to talk to me that way. You don't know me well enough to ask me that. Well, sometimes, I've told you before, I like 48 Hours on Saturday night. It's usually Saturday night when it's on. It's where they solve a mystery. We're watching a court thing play out. They know the end result. We watch it. We watch the crime. We watch the arrest. We watch the defense lawyers. They give us snippets. They try to lead us to where it's going. And many times they purposely lead us down the wrong path. But I love this particular show. It's usually about true events. It's usually true crimes that have taken place. And it always fascinates me the lives that people live that are double. And many times, like the program last night, there's a husband who's been having an affair that the wife didn't know about, the family didn't know about. And it's part of what the police used to zero in on him as a possible suspect, the prime suspect in his murder. Can I remind you this morning, mom and dad may not know, spouse may not know, children may not know, friends may not know, co-workers, they may not know, preachers. Even when we preach funerals, we may not really know, but can I remind you this morning that God knows? He always knows. He says here in verse 2, you know when I sit and you know when I rise. You know when I start my day, you know if it's a hospital day, the Lord knows. If it's hospital, if it's visit, if it's a wedding day, if it's a golf day, if it's an off day, if it's a work day, a study day, a play day, a vacation day. He knows if I've been faithful that day, if he knows if I've been pleasing to him that day or not. He knows from the beginning of my day to the end of my day what he knows about your day, how that day went in my heart, and whether or not he was ever on my mind that day. Matter of fact, you remember a few years ago, not a big fan of our administration, but I've been fascinated with this. And I suspect as Hillary Clinton, if Hillary Clinton decides to run for president, this is probably going to be something that they highlight. This picture. Remember when they did the raid on Bin Laden? You remember how the president has been so clear to want us to see that he was in the Situation Room? He's there with the Secretary of Defense. He's in there with Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State. And they're all watching. And I mean, regardless of how you feel about the president, regardless of how you feel about him promoting this, it fascinates me that they could be sitting somewhere in the White House and they could watch these Navy SEALs as they board a plane, board helicopters, descend from helicopters into a house, storm that house, And they can watch where they are sitting the events play out all across the world. Matter of fact, we were chatting about this in prayer meeting Wednesday night. You know, I don't think they have any reason to. With the IRS, I don't know, with the IRS these days, there may be someday, Clint, where they're really listening close to the message they preach. But you know what? There's no doubt. None of us have any doubt. A satellite could be miles ahead of us and could peer into this sanctuary and listen to everything we're saying today. God's had this ability since the beginning of time. And not only does he peer into what we say, he can peer even deeper than that. Matter of fact, I was fascinated this week with the message. So it caught my eye. Georgia College and State in Millersville. Some of the students were being interviewed because on the newscast this week, what's going on in Millersville? They just spent $100,000 to get new cameras downtown to help them secure downtown and to be able to watch what's going on. And they're spent the money also to get now what most every big city has, facial recognition software, so they can recognize people who have a criminal past or somebody they need to be concerned about. It is amazing what's out there. Facial recognition software. In fact, we were talking Wednesday night at prayer meeting group about how we're going to know each other in heaven. I don't know how we're going to know each other in heaven with certainty. I don't know what we're going to look like in heaven. I don't know. I kind of lean toward that 30 to 33 age bracket because the Lord walked this earth. But if you pushed me in the corner and said, really, what do you know? I would say, I really don't know. Except I know he's able to recognize us here. And he knows whether or not we're his children here and there. It says in verse 2, at the end of verse 2, not only does he see us when we rise and when we, he says he perceives, listen to this passage. You, David said about God, you perceive my thoughts. And I love this. Listen to this phrase in the 84 NIV. You perceive my thoughts from afar. I want you to grasp that with me. I want you to grasp that with me this morning. Is this a reason? This to me is a reason why Paul could say, take every thought captive. It's like I've told you before. Remember that? Remember when your moms and grandparents, in this case it'd be grandparents, maybe great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents. Remember when they used to sift flour when they were making stuff? That's the picture I have in my mind, sifting these thoughts, taking them captive. God sees them from afar. That is amazing to me. They appear. It's humble to realize. You know what I don't want for me? Because you and I, those of us who walk with God a long time, you know what we're doing a pretty good job at? At least we're doing a pretty good job of giving this impression anyway. That we got this outside stuff, this public stuff, we got it in a good place. Or we at least are striving to keep it in a good place. This stuff that seems stuff. But you know, many times God is much more interested in what's unseen. You know what he doesn't want for this preacher or any board member or evangelists or missionaries or teachers, singers, active people at church? You know what he doesn't want? He doesn't want stuff to take root in our heart that needs to be gone quickly before it can take root and cause problems. I don't want to let a bad thought take residence. I don't want a bad attitude to dominate my heart and mind to you. Psalmist said another place, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You know, the weather folks can do a pretty good job. I'm pretty impressed. The weather folks now can do a pretty good job giving us a 10-day forecast, but they can't tell us what we're going to be thinking about, and they can't see a thought coming from afar, but God can. Listen to verse 3. Listen to how deep the psalmist is navigating, way back before all this technology we have today. Listen to how he's navigating what he knows true to be true about God. You discern, not only when I rise and when I lay down, you discern my going out and my lying down. I brought my smartphone. I usually bring my phone with me to the pulpit. I use it as a timer. I like to look at it and just kind of make sure where I'm at on the clock. They keep a clock on the back for me now. It's kind of a signal to me. Preacher, notice the clock. When it starts flashing, I'll know I really get a real signal. But you know what I know about my phone? Same thing you probably know about yours. Whether you got a smartphone or not, your tablet, your computer, desktop, laptop, whatever. Share this with the prayer meeting folks Wednesday. Any Google, Facebook for many of you, Google for me, for many people like me. An executive with Google could sit down and tell anybody what Tim Long did for his day today, yesterday. Our footprint, electronic footprint, shocking. Matter of fact, remember I was reading this week? Everything jumped out at me when I was getting ready for it because I had this potentially down as a message. Remember I was reading this week in Yahoo Finance? One of the things that's being battled over is when people die suddenly, who has access to their Facebook account? Huh? Who has access to their emails? Court cases are being decided at lower court levels. I suspect this is going to make its way up to the Supreme Court. And for some of us, we would go, no big deal. I could care less. But for some, we go, whoa. And sometimes it's been military moms. It's been military moms and dad of a son who wasn't married. They wanted to have access to his emails. Because they forgot to save them sometimes. And they wanted to have them. To them, it was, one lady shared in court, it's like having cardboard boxes of letters during World War II. I want this stuff. I want to be able to get it and print it and save it. And for others, it's a little more sinister. They're interested in seeing what's been going on. And sometimes it's where people see something that's been going on, they had no idea what's going on. And as much as they can see, with our credit card, our debit card, our internet traffic, our online activity, our Facebook activity, Google, Yahoo, Finance, whoever you're using, Google Chrome, in any given day, even the least technology involved in us, boy, our day can be mapped for us. But most of us, especially those of us my age and down, our day is really known out there. I want to remind you by God, it's clearly known. And I think sometimes we take it lightly when God says to us, Tim, one day you're going to give an account for every idle word. I used to wonder how God can do that. I don't wonder that anymore. Many people have told me when they had a near-death experience, a sudden wreck, or crisis, they had a near-death moment. It's like their life flashed before their eyes. That's what I used to hear from the old-time saints and folks not so young. But now we know. But they could flip a switch in a moment and show us what we do. And I want to tell you this morning, God can do. He discerns our going and our coming. And he knows even today. You know what he knows? We come to church. He knows if our heart is in church or not. He knows if we're here or if we've already checked out. He knows if our mind is on football, the game, the golf, the activity, the family, the kids. He knows. Because he sees way past just hearing. He knows, really, Tim and you and all of us here this morning. It says at the end of verse 3, you are familiar, not just with my going out, lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Humbling, isn't it? Sobering to me. You know what I love? I love when I could go before the Lord and I could say, Lord, help me to convince these people I love them. Help me to fix this. Help me to convince them my heart didn't mean that. Because on those times, my heart is really pure. It's right. And I want God to help me fix something with an individual, family, friends, church, something. I say, Lord, help me. Help me to navigate this because you know my heart there. And then that's good. But you know what's hard? Sometimes when I know my attitude stinks, and I have to go, Lord, you know that outwardly I'm doing okay, but inwardly this is causing a problem, and I need your help here. If I'm going to fix this, Lord, you got to fix me first. It's humbling to know. It's sobering to know. It stirs my heart sometimes. Sometimes it troubles me to be reminded that he knows. Knows the agenda, knows the purpose, knows the motives. You know what I love about this, though? It reminds us why God could say about David, Old Testament and New, about David, he was a man with a heart for me, a heart for God. And here he is with this tremendous moral failure, this tremendous need to do a census and be able to see how large the nation has numbered under his presidency. But you know what God knew with all of his shortcomings and even his great moral failure? He knew about David, he's a man that really, really wants to please me. He's a man who really wants to get it right with me. And he could know before he sent the prophet to talk to David that this is a man that will respond favorably, even though he hasn't already. You know what I like for that? You know what I like to be true? Is that God could know that about you and me. That he could come to you and me. He could send his Holy Spirit and know Tim's going to be sensitive to that. Tim's going to be open to that. Tim's going to give that attention rather than see a heart that's closed, a heart that's sad, a heart that's gotten less tender than it ought to be. Boy, I love the fact that God knew this. Can I remind you, Jesus knew Judas was going to betray him. Jesus knew that Peter was going to betray him. Why do you know? Because he always knows. Remember Billy Graham, I shared this with you before. He'd been a evangelist to presidents all these years. Only this president, still, unless something's happened in the last 6 months to a year, this is the only president he hasn't been invited to the White House to spend time with and pray. And I tell you humbly, that ought to tell you a whole lot, lovingly, I say that. I remember him saying about President Johnson when those tapes were made public, and President Nixon when those tapes were made public, all their language and all the things they said, all the stuff that spewed out of their mouth privately in the White House when it was made public. I remember Billy Graham saying carefully, I thought I knew them men. You see, we can put on a show and we can put on a facade and we can put on, but boy, what matters is what God knows. Always. It's what matters. W.C. Sebo told Leanne last week, remember the part of the message last week about gossip? You remember that? Say amen if you do. Say amen loud on that if you did. Sebo told Leanne what I've heard him say. I have forgotten and told her. After he said, I tell people all the time, don't tell me anything. He said, I told her when I was at the base, when I was working, I tell my family, I tell my girls, tell the boys, tell everybody, don't tell me anything because I blab everything. He said, people come tell me a secret. He said, don't tell me your secret. I'm going to tell you a secret. You know what? You know what? For some of us, maybe the best thing. I've had people tell me some of the worst things become public. Their spouse know, found out, parents found out. I've had people tell me it's the best day in their life when it was found out. Because they got right with God. And it forced an issue that they could. Remember what Jesus said on Sermon on the Mount? This is a serious message. You remember what Jesus said on Sermon on the Mount? It'd be better to cut off your right arm than your right arm offend you. You'd be better off to go into a heaven without a right arm than to go into hell with a right arm. Said the same thing about our eye, men. You'd be better to go into eternity without your eyes than to go into hell with your eyes. Sometimes the best thing that could happen is that we couldn't keep secrets. And we don't. Well, that's right, Charlie. We don't keep secrets ever, ever, ever. Let me move quickly. Move quickly to a close. Matter of fact, let me say this before I move off this thought. Many times a year verse of mine has been this. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God. There have been times I put it up in my office so I'd be reminded, even as a preacher, Tim, be careful what you say. Be careful what you meditate on, because it's an easy trap to fall into, to say things that we go, you know, really, that wasn't necessary. Listen to what he says in verse 5. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid, listen to this. You have laid your hand upon me. Wow. He's been working. Boy, can he hem us in? No. Oh, he can too, Charlie. He can hem us in. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Wonderful for me, lofty for me to attain. Why I brought this message to the pulpit with me this morning. You know what I know? It's dangerous for us to let things linger without them getting under the blood. They only get worse and the consequences can be tragic. Or they can be life-changing for good. In verse 23, David concludes this first part of this passage with these thoughts. Search me, O God. Search me. Would you be honest this morning? Would you be honest this morning and say, search me, oh God. Search me. Need this in our churches, our husbands, our wives, our children, our friends, our men, our ladies, our young, our old. This is a great place for us to walk with the Lord. Lord, search me. Search me. Oh God, search me. And he says here, and know my heart. You know what I know? This is the best hope for keeping our hearts in a good place. As I said earlier, heart procedures have come a long way. Heart ablations are relatively new, at least in my time here, 10, 20 years. I can remember them taking place. You know what ablate means? You know what ablate means? It means to destroy. Literally what a heart ablation does, it destroys part of the heart. Sometimes cauterize, sometimes send some cold there. It's done to kind of deaden that area. To get a problem area in a good place. I'm glad, you know what I'm glad? That God doesn't destroy. He creates a new heart. He takes the heart that's there and makes it new, cleanses. 1 John 1:9 says, cleanses from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He doesn't do a part work in us. He does a full work in us. That's why we can be new people, new creatures in the Lord. New people, new goals, new dreams. Matter of fact, I think it affects, when we really come to the Lord, it affects every area of our life. Maybe even how we vote. I want that. Search my heart. Search my heart. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. You know why this is important? You know what could happen on Sunday morning? Is we many times, we're not the prodigal brother. Sometimes we are. But many times we're not the prodigal brother, but we're the elder brother. Who on the outside, we're going through all the motions, but when the prodigal comes home, we get kind of exercised that he's blown the fortune, he's lived it up, and he comes back and everybody's all excited, and I've been hoofing it for Jesus, and nobody gives me the time of day. And sometimes we can be the elder brother sitting there all pumping happy, and we're really seething on the inside. And we've lost the joy of our salvation, and we've lost the passion to please the Lord, and maybe we've become lukewarm, and we need to return to that great first love that God has for us. Boy, search my heart, oh God, search my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive or wicked way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting. Wouldn't you like to trust your future to the one who knows it and knows you? Wouldn't you? I'm humbled that he knows us. You know what I'm humbled most about, though? That he knows us with all of our shortcomings and our failures and still loves us and still wants a relationship with us, still wants to complete the work that he began in us. He's not looking to leave. He's looking to fix and restore anything so that this relationship can get stronger and better. So could I ask again, how's your heart this morning? The heart God sees. I've known people who almost waited too late to get a heart procedure, almost waited too late to get checked out. And that's one thing. But, you know, almost all of those I've known, they would have gone to heaven. It's a tragedy, though, to have waited too late and then not be ready. Back there on the wall next to the sound booth in a little secure cabinet, we got this AED defibrillator that we bought. I guess it's been about a year ago, 18 months ago. When we were talking about this in the board, about buying it, I called our insurance. I had all kinds of questions. I wanted to know what they'd say about our insurance. They said, oh, yeah, these things are awesome. They've changed them. They're good. Get one. No insurance problems. No problem. We were worried about people having the right technology to show how to do it. Eric Tully, who's Monroe County EMT volunteer, kind of helps in this area. And with all, matter of fact, Eric can do so much. They're traveling today. He'll be embarrassed after talking about it. I don't know that there's anything Eric can't do. So he came, he brought one, these little defibrillators, and gave us a demonstration in the men's class for some of the men and the board members so that we could see it. And the beautiful thing about this thing is it won't shock you unless it needs to shock you. I think that's kind of neat. It's almost foolproof. And I say almost because I always allow that, who knows? All right, so here's what I want you to know publicly about your preacher. I'm pretty particular about who puts those paddles on me. But now that I know that it's kind of foolproof, I'm pretty well okay with it. But I still got, as I've told you before, a great reservation about who would be doing mouth-to-mouth on me. The list is a short list, and it begins with Leanne, right? I'm glad we got this thing. We're even thinking maybe we ought to get one for the bus. Keep on the bus. Half. But you know what I'm more concerned about? More concerned that we be a church. That when God speaks and his spirit shows up and he's pricking and convicting hearts, that we be quick to say, Lord, here am I. Here am I. While you're searching, search me. And we'd be a people who would say, shine your light. Shine it. Because you know what I don't want for anybody here? It's the same thing I don't want for me. I don't want to have to give a second thought about who's looking at my emails when I'm called home. I don't want to have to give a second thought about what my digital imprint looks like. I want to be more concerned about what my whole life looks like to Almighty God. And if we'll live with that in mind, all this other stuff will fall in place. Amen. And even if it's been a problem area or a problem place, I'm glad to say again today, we serve a God who is able to forgive and restore and make us, prepare us, equip us to be the great people of God that He's called us to be when He saved us. Amen. Otto's going to come. He's going to sing this beautiful song, lead us in this beautiful song this morning. I wonder if there'd be some folks here today who say, Brother Tim, a good message for me. A good message for me. I'm glad the Lord led you to this place. I'm glad this was the one He put on your heart this morning. A good word for me. And your heart's open to the Lord this morning. And you want to come talk to Him. Maybe He shined His light. Maybe the Spirit of God, the living Spirit of God, has shined a light in a place or two. And you would say, oh Lord, help there. Forgive there. And help me to keep it in a good place here. Would there be a place that just you and the Lord? I'm going to let it just be you and the Lord this morning. Would you be willing to come? Would you publicly come and just kneel at the altar and say, Lord, it's just you and me. And I need to talk to you this morning and pour my heart out to you about this. If God's speaking to you this morning, won't you come? I'm going to ask you to stand, if you would, church.
Let's sing together.
Search me. Praise Thee, Lord, for cleansing.